Jim McGovern, ISIS. Every time I open a paper or turn on the radio or the BBC or the television, I see them committing another heinous act, you know. Now, I'm assuming that what we're hearing is right, but when they're talking about raping young women and thinking of that as their right, the rest of it, does the United States have some kind of moral urgency about putting a stop to this?
Well, the world community does. It's not just the United States. And I was in Iraq in early July, and you know, and ISIS is a problem in Iraq, but quite frankly, it's the least of Iraq's problems. Iraq is a country with a central government that, you know, nobody believes in, you know, where there's still very, you know, intense sectarian divisions, where, you know, amongst the Iraqi people, there's all this infighting and all this and all these moves to undercut one another. And because in Iraq, you know, the situation is so divided, a vacuum was created in which ISIS was able to come in and exploit. You know, ISIS is in Mosul and is in, you know, a number of other communities, you know, in Iraq, not because of their military might, but they've come in and they've found a lot of sympathy amongst people who can't stand the Iraqi government, Iraqis who don't like their own government. And so, you know, ISIS has been able to exploit that and be able to, you know, gain some power within that country. So one of the things we need to understand is if you want to fight ISIS or ISIL or, you know, the all kinds of names they've been given, the answer is not just a military, you know, solution. And we seem to be just fixated on nothing but, you know, aerial bombardments, you know, more and more weapons, more, you know, more and more advisors, potentially troops on the ground. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have a problem with ISIS in Iraq if you had a government that was worth anything, it was halfway decent. And the other thing, too, is the countries, you know, in the region, in the Middle East, need to take some responsibility. You know, one of the interesting things about a lot of these Middle Eastern countries is they're good about keeping their people out of wars in the Middle East. You know, they're good about getting us to step up to the plate. But quite frankly, you know, we're the last people who should be on the front lines in some of these battles. Some of these issues have to be decided, you know, through a process of reconciliation, through a process of negotiation, through a process of demanding good governance, and they're not going to be solved by all the military hardware that we can send over there. And so we need to think differently, because what we're doing right now is kind of the same old, same old. It's the same stuff we've been doing there, you know, for decades now, and it hasn't worked. And we have to understand that ISIS has taken advantage, you know, of kind of the mess that is over there, and the incompetence and the corruption, and also the human rights violations that are going on by our allies, by our government. The government of Iraq, you know, is aligned, you know, is a Shia government aligned with these Shia militias that are doing things just as horrible to people as ISIS is doing. So, you know, you're not changing reality when you have that kind of situation going on. And so we need to think about this all very differently.
But isn't there also the argument that by continuing in the old bad way, as you just mentioned it, that we're basically supporting the defense industry that is the basis of this country?
Well, I think we are supporting the defense industry, you know, but I think, you know,
I'm not arguing for it, you know.
Yeah, just, no, I know. I just kind of think that I get the feeling that we're doing something to say that we're doing something.
Uh-huh.
We're not solving anything. We might be managing something, but we're not solving anything. And we're spending an awful lot of money. I mean, I think right now we're spending $3 or $4 million an hour fighting the Islamic State in Iraq. That's a lot of money. I mean, we have bridges and roads that are collapsing. We got people who can't find a job. We got people young people can't afford to get a college education. You know, we have people in the United States of America who are hungry, and yet we're dishing out all this money for something that I don't even believe, you know, is working. My question to everybody over there is, tell me how all this ends. What's the happy ending? You know, tell me where's the light at the end of the tunnel? And nobody really has an answer. And I'm shocked that when you ask questions like, explain to me what is the, within Iraq, for example, what is the reconciliation process that's going on so that people learn to live with one another rather than shoot at one another, there's no urgency. I met with a group of Sunni sheikhs. One of them said to me, you know, I hope you lose and I hope the Democrats lose because I want the Republicans in because we need more American troops over here and we need to be put back on your payroll. And I said, well, you may get your wish. I mean, yeah. I may lose, the Republicans may win, but I don't think that they're gonna put you back on their payroll because I think the American people have had enough of that, of just throwing billions of dollars down a rat hole, you know, where there's no accountability. So, you know, I just think that what we're doing is not working and is really not even the appropriate approach. We need to be thinking differently. And but unfortunately, in this political climate, it seems that politicians get rewarded for sounding like John Wayne, and let's bomb the hell out of everybody. That seems to elicit more of a response than kind of a more thoughtful, nuanced approach to diplomacy, which I think would be more effective. We've tried the military way over and over and over again. It hasn't worked. It's been a failure. Let's try something different. My hope is we can get to that point.
Jim McGovern, we only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you real quickly about the presidential politics. What do you make of Hillary and the messages? Do you sense that she's in trouble over all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, in politics, perception is a big deal. I mean, she hasn't put it behind her. It's something that's still out there. I mean, every time you turn on the news show, that's all they talk about. I don't think there's much there. That's my own opinion. And I'm not even sure, for those who are criticizing her, how she satisfactorily answers any of the questions that they have or how she puts this behind her. But I will say this about her. Of all the candidates, Democrats and Republicans who are running, she has provided some of the most substantive, thoughtful speeches on policy that have been given in this campaign, whether it's been on voting rights, or on immigration, or on college affordability, on dealing with the economy. I mean, there are really detailed, thoughtful speeches given all around the country. Unfortunately, those don't seem to get reported in the newspapers or on our radio and television as much as the stuff on the emails. I think she's an extraordinary woman. I think I've known her for many years. I think she'd be a spectacular president. She's smart. I think she gets it. I think she'd be an advocate for children in a way like no other president we've ever had. But look, this is a rough business, and I hope she makes it through all this. I think she's terrific. But until this gets put behind her, the focus is going to be on kind of the sensationalism of these emails and not on the policy, which I think I would like to think someday we can get back to campaigns where it is about policy.
So could we?
It doesn't matter what you think about issues.
Could we consider this an endorsement of Hillary?
Yeah, I'm with her. You know, I love Bernie Sanders. He's my friend, and I think he's great. But if he's the nominee, I'm absolutely with him. I know Governor O'Malley, who's a great guy, but I believe in Hillary. I really do. I think she's an incredible person, and I think she gets a bum rap by a lot of people. But she's tough, and the one thing about her I will say is every time someone knocks her down, she gets back up.
She sure does.
I think she'll be I think if she can make it through this and become president, it'll be good for our country and good for the world.
She sure does. Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District Democrat, in office since 1997, and a guy who shoots straight. Thank you so much, Jim, for being with us. We so appreciate it.
Nice to be with you.